The way we consume and share news today, it is largely rooted in social media outlets, a reason why it's crucial to look at what's being discussed online. For our daily social media minute, we're joined by Yerrica in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our layers are getting lighter.
Yeah.
It feels like spring, right?
Yeah,
especially during the daytime.
And like, the days are getting longer. I notice, like when I wake up in the morning, it's kind of like, you know, there's light outside.
As opposed to pitch darkness.
Yeah.
Welcome, spring. We've waited for you.
Yeah.
All right, let's get started with our daily social media minute portion, starting with a backlash erupting over a bid to designate bullfighting as cultural heritage. We're talking about Korea this time because we've had similar conversations in the context of Spain, for example, before. But today, Korea.
That's right. Animal rights activists in Korea are trying to put an end to the bullfighting being adopted as a cultural heritage here in Korea. They're urging the Cultural Heritage Administration to basically stop studying the cultural value of bullfighting as a potential intangible cultural heritage.
Okay.
Six civic groups, including Green Party Korea, held a press conference on Tuesday in front of the government complex, and their message is simple, which is that bullfighting constitutes animal abuse.
Okay, so in the month of January this year, the Cultural Heritage Administration actually announced that bullfighting was selected for investigation to be reviewed whether bullfighting is deemed for preservation and be designated as part of the nation's cultural legacy. And as you can imagine, since then, animal rights activists have put forth their two cents, which is there is no negotiations.
Right.
It's animal abuse.
That's right. To understand why the animal rights activists are so adamant about this, it's the harsh reality of both training and bullfighting and what is involved. These animals go through rigorous training. They have to pull heavy tires. That's only the start of it. You know, they have to learn the fighting techniques. You know, it's all for human amusement and gambling as well. The animals are forced into fighting, which often results in serious injuries.
Okay, so then let's also get a look at technicalities. Why has bullfighting been legally allowed until now then?
Because there's an exception in the Animal Protection Act that views bullfighting as a folk game, traditional folk game. Animal rights groups have vow to launch a petition drive to prevent the designation of bullfighting as a cultural heritage.
And this is while we're having, I guess, larger conversations around awareness and activists surrounding animal rights overall in Korea. It has prompted legislative changes and even public discourse regarding animal welfare standards, and it's extended to even bulls.
That's right. This is not a discussion that's taking place just here in South Korea. Many other countries around the world sadly still allow these practices, including Spain. But from what I know, Barcelona has a long history of bullfighting, but the region of Catalonia has banned bullfighting since 2010.
That's one more thing they can't agree on, but
right.
Okay.
Exactly. I think Ecuador is another country that allows Portugal as well. There are several that still legally allow bullfighting
and
to
take
place.
And the conversations are remarkably similar, aren't they?
Correct.
In this day and age, should we fight for animal welfare or is it about sort of preserving tradition?
Yeah.
And it's a hard one because we all have our own stance, perhaps.
But, what's positive is that there is an increasing awareness, and activism surrounding animal rights here in Korea. It has prompted, legal changes and, public discourse regarding animal welfare standards. So let's see where this goes.
Usually a compromise might be somewhere in the middle. Maybe we can treat animals better and upkeep just the game, not such a vicious fight.
You know, I read in the news just a few days ago that the city of Chengdu hosted a bullfight during the Seoul holidays, New Year's holidays, and around 10,000 spectators came, and I had no idea that bullfighting was so popular still here in Korea.
I didn't realize that the only reason it comes to light for me is this animal rights angle. But okay, so there is, in different parts of the world, demand for it. how do we go about it in a more wise way? So it's not just the same conversation year after year.
Correct.
All right, on to our second buzzword this morning. I saw the headline and I thought, that's kind of a beautiful idea. So there are several public museums that will be just perfect for weddings. And now a select few are saying they're going to open up the venue so people can have a beautiful but still relatively affordable wedding.
That's right. So the National Museum of Korea is one of them, the National Museum of Modern and Contemporary Art, and dozens of other famous and popular public museums are going to be open for couples to hold wedding ceremonies. Now, this is part of the government's support to lessen the financial burden on young people who are planning to get married. And the measure comes as South Korea is, you know, trying to come up with ways, creative ways to encourage young people to get married and subsequently pull up the birth rate.
And because when we go through these surveys year after year, it points to the same sort of reasons.
Yeah.
It's just too expensive to get married, to live together, to have a baby. It is about
to buy a home.
To buy a home.
Yeah.
And that's just a short list. So this announcement does come in the backdrop of that. South Korea experienced a 40% fall in marriages from the years between 2013 and 2023. Like you said, amid increased living costs, relatively similar salaries, other reasons. Bearing on personal finances.
That's right. You know, more than 120 public buildings across South Korea are currently operated as the more affordable wedding venues. But young couples tend to shy away from these venues because they offer little in the way of romantic and sentimental value. So among the public buildings that are going to be offered as wedding venues, you know, like I said, the National Library of Korea as well, and the National Folk Museum of Korea.
I may need a do-over.
No! You want to do that all over again?
No, I really don't. But I mean, these are much more, I guess, historically valuable, a better story to tell, sort of.
Yeah.
And to make it accessible and affordable sounds like a great
game.
That's
right.
Plan.
Now, the information, like specific information on the cost, reservation, and other details pertaining to the use of these public venues are going to be settled within the first half of this year. And a related website is going to be open in the second half of the year as well. So you can go on there and look for all the information that you need. And, you know, we've talked about this in this segment not too long ago.
But
wedding-related businesses have been notorious for lack of transparency when it comes to pricing. And the government is trying to fix that by having prices laid out clearly.
Like gyms, like restaurants, like show the price from the get-go, at least a standard.
That's
and
right.
Make it more transparent for styling, dresses,
makeup.
Right? A studio.
Yep.
That's what Sue stands for, right? Okay. Now, how do they plan to do this? It sounds tough, huh?
Yeah, but they're planning to mandate businesses to post costs of wedding photo shoots at studios, tuxedo and dress hire, and makeup services and other services on the Korea Consumer Agency website.
But my problem was the added cost, not the standard.
Yes, all of the little added costs here
right.
and there.
Is it you know, a first time wearing this rental, that kind of stuff?
Yep.
Is it the higher up, the chief makeup artist, or is it her underling?
Yeah, it is tricky.
That kind of question.
It's not so black and white.
No, it really isn't, but we'll wait and see. At least they want to create a standard for it. Let's move on to our final buzzword this morning. Ohtani reveals who his wife is ahead of the Dodgers trip to Seoul. Was this intended for a PR stunt?
You know, when he says that he's a private person, he really means it.
Yes.
In late February, not too long ago, just after the start of spring training, he announced, to the surprise of most people, that he had recently gotten married to a person he later described as, quote, a normal Japanese woman whom he had known for 3 or 4 years. And he basically disclosed no details about his wedding or his wife. He reportedly declined to say when they got married, but they said the relationship has no bearing on his decision to sign with the Dodgers, which apparently his wife supported. He also told the Japanese media that he got engaged last year and that his wife was with him at spring training. Everything was shrouded in mystery. It turns out his wife isn't such a private Japanese citizen. Mm. She was also Mamiko Tanaka, who's a basketball player for the Fujitsu Red Wave in the Women's Japan Basketball League.
There's nothing average or normal about that, I've got to say. There's a lot of celebrity.
Exactly. So just ahead of the Dodgers series in South Korea, which we talked about, against the Padres, Otani posed for a photo with his wife in front of the flight that would bring him to Seoul.
And the media is having a field day.
Oh, it's all over Twitter.
Here we are. Yeah. Yes. And we're streaming the image now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they look so lovely happy together, yeah, right?
Now, as far as athletically gifted couples go, you want to talk about a power couple? Here we are. It'll be tough to top that pairing.
Yeah, you know, apparently internet sleuths in Japan, they were able to figure out that Otani's wife was, in fact, Tanaka ever since he made his initial remarks about the marriage. I don't know how they do it, but they've known for a while. But baseball fans were still thrilled to get a confirmation from the man himself.
Until he says it, we can't really confirm anything, right? Yep. And he has now. And looks like Otani is getting in the habit of dropping massive news in the form of abrupt, perhaps unintentionally, Instagram posts, as he also announced he was signing with the Dodgers through his account earlier this offseason.
Yeah, his deal was then reported to be worth a record $700 million, with $680 million deferred. Now, he's not going to pitch this season, but he is expected to make his Dodgers debut next week as designated hitter for the team's two games against the Padres on March 20th and the 21st at Kuchok Sky Dome right here in Seoul.
Oh, that's approaching really quickly. Yep. That's next week. Mm-hmm. Right around the corner for any baseball fans who's clearly very excited about it. I'm sure there'll be fans who don't have tickets crowding outside. Yeah. I don't doubt it for a second. You know, I've got to say, this week and weeks we talked about the Oscars, we talked about this, and I'm realizing more and more there are a select few celebrities out there who are definitely more shy on social media, and it's kind of a beautiful thing because when they unveil something, it has such an effect.
I know.
Did you know
the
that
is huge.
The best actor winner, Cillian Murphy, he didn't know what a meme was.
Oh, really?
That one floored me.
That's funny.
That's just so funny. So in this day and age, you can balance social media and a celebrity career.
Yeah.
It's rare, I must say. Thank you so much, Erica. I'll see you next week.
Have a great weekend.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.